In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the man, to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. The sermon for today is based on the gospel reading from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41, just read. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We often like to speculate as to what caused someone's misfortune. Did he do something to deserve his suffering? Did he sin? We even do this to ourselves. We find out that we have some illness or some other horrible tragedy befalls us, and we wonder what we did to deserve it. We always want to know why when bad things happen. This may even be running through our minds now with this coronavirus scare. The disciples follow a similar line of reasoning when they come across the man who was blind from birth in today's gospel reading. It was common to think that when people had a terrible affliction, then they or their parents must have sinned because the person must have deserved this somehow. And certainly, sometimes our sins do have direct consequences. If I drive drunk, I may get into an accident or hurt someone else. If I abuse my body with drugs or unhealthy living, I may suffer for it. We also know that all evil, all the bad stuff in the world is because of sin in general. Things are broken. Yet, does this mean that everything we suffer is a direct result of some particular sin on our part? Is God just waiting to zap you for this or that sin? Was some sin of the man or his parents a direct cause of his blindness? Jesus says no. This was not a punishment for anything in particular. This is for God's glory. It is so that the works of God might be displayed in him, that he may be delivered of blindness both of body and soul. Jesus is the light that dispels all our darkness. The night is blindness and death and spiritual darkness. The work of God is to remove this deep darkness and bring us into the light of Christ. The man born blind is first healed of his physical blindness and then from his spiritual blindness through faith in Christ. Jesus spit on the ground and made mud to heal the man's eyes. This seems strange, and the Pharisees would consider making mud to be working on the Sabbath, so some of them condemned Jesus for it. Yet the Sabbath is the perfect time for God to be doing his work in us. That is what it was meant for, so that God may do his work of bringing people out of darkness into light. The mud and saliva are physical sacramental signs of a sort on the Sabbath that come with the promise of healing for the man as he washes in the pool of Siloam, much like baptism is water connected with the Word of God that promises forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. When he comes back seeing, some of his neighbors don't even believe it's really the man who was born blind, but someone who looks like him. The Pharisees hold an inquisition with the blind man, wanting to know what had happened. They can't come to an agreement on whether Jesus is some impious Sabbath breaker or a wonder worker from God, so they ask the blind man and get his opinion. He is a prophet, the man says, for an answer. Of course, Jesus is even much more than that. John then tells us that the Jews didn't believe the man was born blind, so they call in his parents to ask them. They confirm that, yeah, he was born blind, but he sees now. We got no idea how. Our son is of age. Ask him if you want to know. We're told that they answered that way because they were afraid of the Jews, and that word had already gone out that if anyone confessed Jesus as the Christ, they were to be thrown out of the synagogue. So then they call the poor guy back again and tell him that they know Jesus is a sinner. So the blind man replies, look, I don't know if he's a sinner, but I was born blind and now I see. Again, they ask him how, and he says, I already told you. And then he ticks them off by asking, why do you want to know? Do you want to become his disciples also? The whole story is actually kind of funny. The guy is kind of a smart aleck. And then John says they reviled him. They don't get anywhere with him. And because he's not telling them exactly what they want to hear, they turn on him completely and say, you were born in utter sin. After all, he was born blind. And would you teach us? And they cast him out. It doesn't really seem fair since they were the ones who asked. And all he did was tell them what happened. But that's how they operated. It seems that his miraculous healing didn't actually solve his problems. The man completely loses his life as he knew it. Being cast out from the synagogue was serious business. You weren't even part of your community anymore. You'd probably be shunned by everyone who knew you. As if that wasn't bad enough, he was considered an utter sinner just for being born blind. It didn't seem like Jesus did him any favors. It seemed like Jesus actually ruined his life. But he ruined it to save it. God kills to make alive. The old Adam must be drowned in the pool of baptism so that the new man can come forth into the light and see with the clear eyes of faith and forgiveness of sins. Of course, this man being born blind is really a picture of how we are all born as natural born sinners, but the Pharisees would never account themselves as sinners. It's ironic that those who could see with their eyes turned out to be the ones caught in the dark night of sin and unbelief, and the one who was born blind, considered to be born in utter sin, is the one who is brought into the light and is given a greater sight than even the healing of his physical eyes gave him. Once the man born blind has been completely rejected by the letter of the law and even excommunicated by the Pharisees, who represent all human legalism, then he's prepared to be found by Jesus, which is exactly what happens. And his sins are forgiven and he is given the gift of faith, just as you received in baptism and through the word of God. Your sins are also forgiven and you have been given the gift of faith that he has created in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. All the false teaching and human righteousness that are represented by the Pharisees could do this man no good. None of it could heal his blindness within or without, let alone grant him the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But once his rejection by the religious types is complete, Jesus steps in. He sees Jesus, who gave him the gift of sight, who brought him from spiritual darkness into the light, and he believes. He worships. He increased in his understanding, going from seeing Jesus as a prophet to seeing him as God in the flesh, the Messiah, the promised Savior. On the other hand, the Pharisees decreased in understanding, sinking into further spiritual blindness, seeing Jesus only as a Sabbath-breaking sinner. Many who think they see clearly are blind because they are without faith in Jesus, and that's what it means to be truly blind. The healthiest person in the world with perfect 20/20 vision is dead and in darkness if he sees no need for Christ and his word. But whether your eyes or any other parts of your body work or not, with faith in Jesus, you truly see clearly because you live in the light of Christ, sins forgiven. He died and rose from the dead so that you might also arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you forever in his kingdom that knows no more blindness or unbelief or pain or illness or disease. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you give sight to the blind, you open the ears of the deaf, and you make the lame to walk. Hear the prayers of your people on behalf of all people as they have need. In the darkness of sin and its death, we cry to you, O Lord. Open our ears by your word, our minds by your spirit, and our hearts by your grace, that we may know and be thankful for all the blessings you have given to us in Christ our Lord, especially the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Strengthen us in faith that we may serve you with all our body, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bidden by your word, we pray to you, O Lord, on behalf of your church and all your people, scattered and isolated. Give to us good pastors and servants of your word who will serve us faithfully and boldly, even in chaotic times. Keep them safe, comfort them and their families, and raise up many more servants for full-time church work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Defended by your grace, we ask you, O Lord, to provide us with good and faithful leaders who will preserve the precious gift of liberty and protect the lives of our citizens. Give them special wisdom and help them to work in harmony in the midst of this pandemic. Bless the members of our armed forces and protect them as they defend us. Grant your blessing to all emergency and medical workers who continue to come to our aid in times of great need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Enjoying the riches of your grace, we ask you, O Lord, to give us generous hearts, that we may share what you have provided with those in need and work for the common good of all. Give us patience in our seclusion and comfort the lonely. Grant relief to the unemployed, the underemployed, the homeless, and all their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Knowing your healing will and gifts, we pray you, O Lord, to spare us from all calamity by pestilence, scarcity, and fear. Remember the sick in their afflictions, calm those troubled in mind, and keep steadfast the dying. We especially pray for those who we name in our hearts. Show us your gracious will, O Lord, and sustain those who are afflicted in body or mind until that day when you will bestow upon us new bodies fit for the eternal life you have prepared for us in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things, O Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking you to grant our prayers, not for our sake, but for the sake of him alone. Teach our hearts to be content with your will and to trust that you will answer us with what is best for us and at the right time for our need. So do we pray, giving testimony of our confidence in your gracious favor in Christ by answering with one voice, Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.